Chapter 182. "I do not think Briala likes me," Llewellyn whispers, as she passes the place where she knows Solas has been stationed to hide until the signal is ready. "I do not think she sees our causes as the same."
"Are they?" Solas's voice whispers back, thrown and distorted by magic. Llewellyn feels out the spell, and Solas loosens the weave of it to allow her to see the strands and the warp of them. Llewellyn weaves her magic to copy his, careful and slowly pushing it at him. She feels his mana wash over her copy of the spell, testing and touching, pushing, at where she needs to adjust before retreating with a gentle hum of approval. Llewellyn tightens the spell and projects her voice through it.
"Yes, aren't all causes the same? The desire to be treated well, to not be hurt, to be safe? Why should I want that to be different from what she wants?"
"Perhaps it is because you are not a city elf."
Llewellyn digs her nails into her gloves, wishing she could take them off, so she could just feel the pressure on her skin. "These are divisions that were made and enforced by Shems,
supported and enthusiastically perpetuated by the Dalish.
You say that like elves and cities don't cling to the separation either. We are not others."
Llewellyn squeezes her hands tight, tight, tighter.
"We were once one people. We are just, now, diverse. But we are still one people. Why must we be so different? I am not exotic, and I shouldn't be seen as such by someone like me. And she is not different. Our people are different for experiences, but there is no essential divide between us. We are not two races."
Solas doesn't reply, and for a moment, Llewellyn worries she dropped the spell and was just yelling into the corridor. A door opens to her side, and Solas's hand slips out, palm up. Llewellyn takes off her glove and places her hand in his. His hand is warm, larger than hers, older. His thumb runs over her knuckles in one of his rare displays of affection. "Dalen," Solas sighs out loud, a wealth of words and meanings crammed into his single sigh. Llewellyn squeezes his hand back and closes her eyes to focus on the way he pushes his mana against hers, slowly merging the two into a dawn and twilight between them. Neither him nor her, but shades and mixtures. So much love, so much anger, so much regret. "Right now, your people need you," Solas says. "And right now, your people are not elves."
"I know," Llewellyn says. And it makes her heart tired. It makes her heart ache. "I know."
"Later," Solas says, pulling his mana from hers. Llewellyn feels smaller and colder and more tired without him. She resists the urge to cling like a spoiled baby, though she wants to. Alone in Halam Sharal, the herald of Andraste. The irony will kill her someday, she knows. "Later," Solas says, and whispers something so soft Llewellyn only catches what might be Anaste.
This is Llewellyn. This is Llewellyn knee-deep in swamp water, fighting undead. This is not where she ever thought her life would take her. And she has half a thought to send a prayer to Saliz for the thought of home. Llewellyn would very much like to not be here at this moment in time. It is cold and it is damp. It smells of rot and the gas that always seems to come from the swamp waters. The undead are never-ending and unforgiving. But Llewellyn has to fish something she dropped out of the water, and this may necessitate her going under. Llewellyn is not looking forward to this. Llewellyn doesn't know what she was thinking of when Josephine told her she had to go to the Forgotten Mire, but it was not this.
Llewellyn supposes that maybe she was thinking of trees. The swamps at the Free Marches had trees. The swamps here have undead, Avar who hate her, and rifts. It is distinctly not the Free Marches.
So, you're going to get that?
Varric says, and Llewellyn sighs as she wades up to her waist in what feels like gruel. Black, sludgy, smelly gruel with things that might be moving in it.
Keep them off me, Llewellyn says, and braces herself, because this is not the worst thing she's ever had to do.
Probably.
She's sure that she's done worse things than this. She just can't remember them at the moment.
Llewellyn takes a moment to pray to anyone listening, Dreadwolf too, of course, and brace herself before dunking herself into the swamp. The things she does.
It would seem that I am most unwelcome.
I wouldn't say that, in those words exactly.
The elf raises an eyebrow and snorts.
Then is this the welcome Meryl would receive, were she to come to this hold? Fenris asks. She wants to. She has heard of this Inquisitor, and seems excited to speak with her. Of what I do not care to know.
Well, that's different, Varric says. Daisy's different.
Is it because she is the good kind of elf? Fenris asks. Or is it because she is not me?
It helps that she isn't known for being a guy with a giant sword and strong violent tendencies, Varric replies. You aren't here to throw our Inquisitor off the ramparts, are you?
Is that why they sent you to meet me at the other end of the bridge before I could even make it to the gates?
In all honesty, I think they're willing to set the bridge on fire if it means keeping you out.
Fenris rolls his eyes. There are worse things to get around than a single bridge on fire.
Yeah, I figured. So, are you here to, end the Inquisitor? Because if you are, I'm gonna have to take their side on this one, Broody. She's not so bad once you get to know her. She's kind of like Meryl.
Fenris grimaces. All right, bad example. Minus the blood magic. That does not make the impression of her better, Fenris says. Move, dwarf. I have a deadline, and if I don't send a message to Aveline, she's going to march over here herself. I'd rather avoid that, if at all possible. I owe Donnick money, and I'd rather not add that to my debt.
Seriously, are you going to kill her?
You make me think that I'm going to have a hard time not killing her. I swear, though, that my intentions in coming here were not to kill the Inquisitor. Some Venatori, perhaps, yes. Some blood mages, yes. The Inquisitor, no.